It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. Again, happy Wednesday, everybody. Halfway there.
Happy Wednesday, and I wondered what everybody was pretty much watching. Anyone was probably watching the State of the Union address last night.
Well, we assume that because it's our
because
job.
We're really geeky, and that's what we did.
We assume everybody else was watching.
Some other people went out to dinner or saw a movie. We watched the State of the Union address, as many of you did as well. And here to join us to talk about it and the media's reaction is Tim Graham from Newsbusters. Tim, thanks for being with us once again.
Sure.
And, oh boy, there's so many different reactions to this. I guess my first thought is, if I ever play poker in Congress, I'd like to play against Nancy Pelosi. Because there might
so
be a tell there. There's so many tells. Her lips, they were moving.
It's not the lips. It's the sucking on the teeth. It's like her polygrip has come loose or something.
Well, maybe
that's what it looks like.
Maybe it's, you know, Tums.
I mean,
she definitely, you know, people would say, how many times does she roll her eyes? That's not the measurement. It's how many times she does the sucking on the lozenge thing.
Trump was giving her heartburn.
She's like twisting her lips around like a gymnast. I have no idea what's going on there during that. It was actually kind of amusing. And then she was like whispering words to herself. I couldn't figure out what she was saying half the time. I know when he was talking about the economy and the high jobs numbers, she didn't seem happy about that. She was like making karate chops in the air or something.
Well, there were times where you could tell she was gesturing to the Democrats over on the right side of the room. And there were times that she would mouth things, and it looked like she was trying to mouth things to them. At one point, she literally put her hand up at the beginning of the speech. Like, they must have been getting, like, booing or something like that. She actually put her hand up to, you know, back, calm down. You know, we got another hour and a half of this, so, like, you know, save it for the second half.
Go ahead.
We would have really enjoyed, you'll remember, Obama gave a speech. It was actually not a State of the Union. It was one of these September speeches, and Joe Wilson yelled, "You lie."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they all had an absolute fit. So, of course, we were waiting to see if one of these radical freshmen was going to scream at Trump, because the balance, the contrast would have been amazing.
Or get up and walk out in some big staged thing. That's kind of what I was expecting, you know, in
but
their parade of white.
He got them up to clap at some point. They could stand up and clap for celebrating, you know, women being in Congress, but they had to sit on their hands for, you know, not wanting to kill babies after they're born.
Infanticide. They couldn't get behind, you know.
It's hard to get behind that, I guess, if you're a Democrat. That's a tough thing. But let's talk a bit about what we do here at the MRC. How did the media skew this? You know, of course, they do a lot of fact-checking. They do their reviews immediately after. And Tim and his crew were up watching lots of that last night. What were some of your favorite the misstatements of the union that we got from the media?
Well, first, I think that generally, regardless of the president, the American people tend to take the speech and like it. In part, they tend to like it because they feel like that's the patriotic reaction, that how did you feel about the president's speech?
It tends to be a rah-rah moment.
Yeah. So, yeah, the CNN found 76% positive reaction last night. And then, of course, they had, for the second year in a row, were like, no, you're wrong. You can't like
this. They don't like their own polls.
Not allowed to like this. Mm-hmm. Let us tell you why.
We don't like you liking this.
Yeah, and really, largely, the media reaction was remarkably negative. You know, they make me watch, or I choose to watch PBS. They came out very negative. Yes. Well, I got to see how they're wasting our tax dollars.
About to say, how the state-funded media take it.
Yeah, Mark Shields came right out and said it was remarkably unmemorable. You know, just the things that you say that because you just want to run it down. So it was generally run down there, but I think that was nothing compared to Van Jones, who was using, what was
cookies
it?
Cookies and dog poop.
Cookies and dog poop.
I saw this as a psychotically incoherent speech with cookies and dog poop. He tries to put together in the same speech these warm, kind things about humanitarianism and caring about children. At the same time, he is demonizing people who are immigrants.
Well, you have to remember, Van Jones said last year, Van Jones said that he was presidential for the first time, and he got his head handed to him on left-wing
Twitter. Yeah, he can't do that again.
So he had to, like, go the other way and go full white-lash moment.
That's racist.
Well, it's the word he used, you'll remember, on the night Trump was elected. This is white lash.
It's white lash.
Well, some of the fact-checking has been interesting, too. I know Nancy Pelosi was moving her lips and whispering when he was talking about the economy, and some of the fact-checkers came up with some interesting ways to say, well, you know, the economy's not really all that good or as good as President Trump says. What'd you see?
What usually they try to do is the president will say it's the lowest black unemployment in history. And they will say, no, it's the lowest black unemployment since they began measuring it in 1972. Okay, so I noticed last night he said the lowest black unemployment ever recorded. So that was...
And they still didn't clap.
Well, then they said, well, yes, it was the lowest 4 months ago, but now it's gone back up. I mean, the fact of the matter is, yes, these are facts on the economy that they simply don't talk about.
Well, and I think, wasn't it, he said that, you know, no country is growing faster economically right now than the United States, and somebody came up with, like, Latvia or something?
Well, and
how did we forget about Latvia?
Obviously, smaller economies might grow faster because they're smaller. But look, the fact of the matter is, yes, the economic performance now is good. I think one of the reasons the so-called fact checkers, or especially what I call them, the so-called independent fact checkers, when we know they're liberal fact checkers or manglers, they just don't like that Trump uses sales language. You know, Trump sells his economy like he's selling an apartment building. You know, he's going to...
Well, he's making a deal. Yeah,
he's going to put a gloss.
He's selling it up, right.
But don't they all... I mean, like, I'm sorry. I know that he's a businessman, and I know that that's kind of the thing that's used to slam him as well as praise him. So I get that. But isn't that what every president does? I mean, what president has ever come to the State of the Union and been like, well, let's roll out some of the crap numbers from the last year? I mean, nobody ever does that. There were so many times that I used to literally, like, almost, you know, throw things at the television when I heard Obama talking, because I was going, no, that's not true. That's not the way that it is. And you knew it, but he was selling to his base. So again, I think that there's a double standard here between how they cover different presidents, because every president does that at the State of the Union.
Well, this is what the first thing that we noticed last night that got newsbusters on the Drudge Report was Chuck Todd coming out before the speech and saying this is going to be the theater of the absurd. And I'm just like, talk about a guy that needs a Rolaids. I mean,
could have borrowed some from Nancy Pelosi.
I was going to say, I mean, why, if you want to state, and Chuck Todd has written some rather absurd articles, speaking of absurdities, about how independent and objective the news media are. Why would you come out before the speech and do this sort of cranky pre-buttle? I thought that Kamala Harris was supposed to do the pre-buttle.
Well, talk about somebody who sat there with a sour look on her face. She looked like somebody had just peed all up in her Cheerios that morning.
Well,
you know,
that's her job. I think the media especially have kind of preordained her as the Democratic candidate right now. So her job is to face off against Trump. So she's certainly not going to show any signs of joy or acquiescence during a Trump speech.
But exactly. I mean, we all look at them and say, it's amazing that they can't applaud record low black and Hispanic and Asian unemployment. We can understand they wouldn't applaud for the anti-abortion language, but that you wouldn't applaud record low unemployment for minorities. It just shows you again, yes, they are obviously playing to their base. And this is one of those things where the liberal media doesn't realize that, one, they are the liberal base. You know, they see the Trump base as this wild-eyed group of crazies, and they see themselves as eminently reasonable, and we see them as a group of wild-eyed crazies. So, I mean, I think this is where they don't... we should expect the Hillary Clintons or the Kamala Harrises or the Ocasio-Cortezes to have a sour look on their face.
Well, no,
that's
wait, she applauded herself. She did applaud herself. Let's give credit where credit is due.
She was a woman in Congress. She was very happy about being a woman in Congress.
She applauded herself.
Well, and that was an amazing moment in a sense, because after you'd had all of that sour-pussed, white-dressed feminist stuff, for them to suddenly break out into the hosannas and the high fives was really kind of a remarkable thing. I think it was a smart tactic by Trump. But here again, this is where we get the fact checker. So NPR does a fact check and saying, well, Trump was correct, but all the women, all the new women are Democrats. Well, Well, then you're not doing a fact check. You're basically saying he was somehow wrong because the women are all Democrats. You know, we actually they were making the point that the number of Republican women in the House has gone from 23 to 13. To the liberal media, that's a good thing. You know, they don't try to save the media.
Republicans in those seats, regardless of their gender, right?
Yeah. So I mean, it is one of those things where a lot of times when they say they're fact checking, they're playing games with context, which means bias. You know, we have to add our spin to stuff. So stop pretending you're doing a fact check.
Well, that's the thing, is it's not a fact check. It's a, well, he told this piece of information, but he didn't tell it from the angle that we want to report it. So we're going to twist it and tell it from our side.
Right.
Because that's what they do, right? I mean, that's what reporting has become nowadays.
Well, and there's a function for fact checking, and you could even say there's more of a function for fact checking because Trump likes to gild the lily. But again, the problem is they have to choose wisely. And not choose everything. And so this morning, you look at the Washington Post fact checker page, and they're like, oh, we fact checked the State of the Union. Guess what we didn't do? We have nothing about what Stacey Abrams said. Nothing about the Democratic response.
And boy, did they love, everybody loves Stacey Abrams' response.
I don't get that.
Which I don't think was very good at all.
Well, I think she had the liberals at Happy Lunar New Year.
Good evening, my fellow Americans, and Happy Lunar New Year. I'm Stacey Abrams, and I'm honored to join the conversation.
Are you telling me you didn't celebrate?
I was suddenly hearing, you know, Fifth Dimension singing about the moon in the seventh house.
Was she talking to all
dating myself though?
Was she talking to all the witches out there who like to like cast their spells on? Is that who she was? Is that who she was going for?
Spells
the
that
Satanists who are afraid of Mike Pence. Wasn't that a thing?
But I think that, again, yeah, she had one passage, the one that really stuck out to me, which isn't necessarily a fact check moment. The fact check moment for her was basically saying that the economy's terrible, which even PolitiFact this morning said, the economy's not terrible. If you're going to say something silly right now, it's trying to say the economy's terrible. But she had one passage or one sentence in there where she said, the Republicans don't understand real life. And it was like, we're all artificial beings?
Yes, all the people in flyover country who voted for Trump don't understand real life.
That goes against
none
all
of
the
them
NPC
understand
memes
real
I've
life.
Seen. That goes against all the NPC memes I've seen.
Well, I mean, I find it interesting that depending on when they want to talk about us, conservatives are either really rich, snotty people who are out of touch or a bunch of backwoods bumpkins who live in the woods. I'm not sure which ones we are at this point. It depends on the day and how they want to paint us. But, you know, we're either, you know, toothless without shoes or living in mansions.
So I'm just going to hit some of the headlines here that you actually have on Newsbusters because these are great and it really just characterizes the media. ABC found it fascinating to watch Pelosi saw tension in Trump. I would say I kind of witnessed it the other way with all those mouth acrobatics that were going on from Nancy. She looked a little wound up to me. I wouldn't say Trump looked particularly relaxed.
And yesterday morning, we rounded it up yesterday, and there was a lot of this about even the ad. CNN had an ad saying, Trump goes to Pelosi's house. It's like, no, it's the people's house. But they were fascinated by this whole, you know, how's it going to go with Pelosi? Now, these people never did things saying they weren't going to do an advertisement saying Obama goes to Boehner's house. You know, nobody did that.
Although I did like the fact that I think Trump printed up the speech for Nancy and probably size 36, 42 font because she had these giant reams of paper.
It really did look like she was flipping through a menu.
I did like the tweets where they're like, she's trying to decide between the filet mignon and the scallops.
Oh, let's look at another headline here. Oh, CNN's king. The State of the Union was a disgrace for no mention of climate change. You see a lot of them harping on climate change for this one. Of course, I would say this. A lot of them praise Stacey Abrams because she mentioned climate change and she mentioned gun control, which were two things Trump did not mention.
Well, and you can say, oh, this speech went on for like 85 minutes or whatever it was. It should have a mention of everything. And that's, I think, one of those things that makes the speech boring, is when you have this humongous laundry list of issues and topics. I would say that the funny thing was that he spent a lot of time on heroes. Mm-hmm. More than maybe we're used to.
An American exceptionalism.
Yeah, that seemed to be his attempt at unity. Yeah. You know, it's hard not to stand and clap for the World War II veteran.
Or the childhood cancer survivor who's raising money for other sick children.
Or the Holocaust survivor who happened to get shot at the temple. Unbelievable story there. It's hard to sit on your hands for that. So he picked some good guests.
The reality is, despite the media, this is a good night for the president. And it's generally the State of the Union is a good night for any president, just because it shows that he's president. And they'll all come on and say, as they did last night after Stacey Abrams, wow, this is a hard gig to respond to the State of the Union. And I think that's generally true. This is an event that tends to favor whoever the president is. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely, I think, again, judging the way that people regularly judge Trump of this as this crazy, out-of-control person, they get upset because this actually makes him look normal.
Well, and it allows him a chance to appeal directly to the American people. And I do think, and we've said this before on this podcast, I think that Trump on prompter, on a speech, is better than Trump off the cuff in many ways. I know why people like Trump off the cuff in many ways, but again, he does tend to leave himself open to, you know, saying, you know, mysterious statistics that aren't true or whatever, you know, and the fact checkers have a field day. I think that Trump on prompter, it gives him a chance to appeal to the American people, and the left doesn't like that, because particularly with something like immigration, when he lays out not just his plan and his opinion, but hey, look, our plan is based on what the experts have said. It's based on this data, and this is what they want. Oh, and by the way, here's a family who just lost some family members to illegal alien crime. Here's a border agent, you know, who was instrumental in helping stopping, you know, human trafficking. When he lays it out like that, it is very reasonable, particularly then when he appeals to Democrats to say, hey, this is a problem for all of us. This isn't a partisan issue. Let's work together. And they don't like that. So they have to try to spin it, because really, when you listen to him, it sounds like a rational appeal.
I think it's really funny that they talked a lot about what he didn't talk about, you know, the climate change.
The weather and
the issue of guns. But when I watched the coverage this morning, I was flipping through the networks, just ABC, NBC, CBS. I believe it was ABC this morning. They didn't mention his comments on abortion at all in their morning summary.
Well, they've been avoiding that subject for 2 weeks.
We'll probably put that in whack-a-mole later this week, Tim. Nothing. Zippo on abortion. So they would slam him for not mentioning climate change, but they can't talk about the things he did talk about.
And that got one of the loudest ovations.
Yeah, yeah. I think for his base, there were two real rah-rah moments. One was the passage on abortion, and the other was the passage on socialism, which, you know, so many people were enjoying the sour Bernie Sanders face.
His head was exploding.
It was.
I thought he was going to cry.
Mess out of his pen.
This is again where the fact checkers, or they're trying to, this morning, we're trying to say, well, what happened in Venezuela wasn't really socialism.
It wasn't done properly yet.
It was badly implemented socialism.
Socialism just hasn't been tried properly yet.
Yeah, that's a fact check. My goodness.
Oh, geez. I loved that moment. And it was so refreshing to hear a president. And again, I think that it needs to go beyond words. It needs to go into action now. You know, so standing up there at a speech and saying it is not the end. That should be the beginning. But it was so refreshing to hear a president stand up at the State of the Union, affirm the sanctity of life, and essentially make a call to, you know, to protect children who are born alive,
and
to see Democrats sitting down and not applauding for it's insane to say, well, we want to make infanticide illegal, and to have people actually sit down with their arms crossed over it, I think was a very telling moment. But it was so refreshing to hear him say that, you know, because we haven't had that in so long.
Well, and this is where I think that their whole reaction is to say, and this is where the fact checkers come in, well, the percentage of late-term abortions is only 1.3% of abortions, la, la, la. Well,
That's 13,000 abortions a year.
Thousands. And so obviously what you would want to say, if I was stuck on the CNN set being tortured by 12 liberal pundits, I would just get in their face and say, do not lecture us about separating children from their mothers at the border. Do not lecture us about torturing terror suspects. If you're going to say basically that Ralph Northam misspoke a little, but he's right on the issue.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's very, very tragic if a child dies in Border Patrol custody because they come across the border sick. But we've had two children pass away in Border Patrol custody even after getting medical care, as much medical care as we could get them. And that's cause for national outrage. We're talking about 13,000 late-term abortions in the United States every single year. And apparently that's a small enough margin to be swept under the rug. So the fact that he said it right there at the State of the Union and called on them to pass a law banning this, I think was a big moment for pro-lifers, and we've been waiting for that for a long time.
I'm going to take that point and move off the State of the Union for a second and move on to what's going on with Ralph Northam and another media double standard, and this involves Justin Fairfax, and you've done some work on this, Brittany. It seems Justin Fairfax, there's a little sticky issue in his past, but the liberal media doesn't really want to discuss it.
No, they don't. It's funny when they want to discuss it and when they don't, because, of course, you know, the minute that Ralph Northam came under fire for his, you know, blackface photo that, you know, he was in and then he wasn't in and we're not, you know, whatever. All of the mental gymnastics
blackface
that he was, you know. And
he
can
moonwalk, though, I guess.
Well, that's, you know, he can supposedly
moonwalk.
I still
want to see that. Am I the only one?
You know, but of course, after all that, you know, I think Justin Fairfax immediately, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, immediately smelled blood in the water. He was next in line to be crowned, you know, governor of Virginia. But this is a guy that is pretty far left, probably wouldn't have got elected, you know, governor of Virginia on his own.
Yeah,
he had to run.
He's much more far left
than
Northern.
Very far left. You know, but then, of course, it comes out in his past that, oh, wait, there's a woman. She's a professor out in California, you know, which I find kind of ironic. Because the last time we were dealing with this was also a professor out in California who apparently accused him of sexual assault about a year ago. The sexual assault allegedly took place.
Does Professor Fly? Do you know? I'm just curious.
She might be scared of it.
Just,
but she may have taken
an inquiring
a million vacations.
Mind, does she fly?
I also don't know if she has two front doors to her home. But all things we need to find out. But the media is not bothering. Because isn't it interesting that this is an alleged sexual assault? Again, alleged. An alleged sexual assault that took place about 10 years ago or so, a little bit more. She made these accusations about a year ago. The Washington Post knew about it and decided not to run with the story because they couldn't find any corroboration to her allegations. This is the same Washington Post, mind you, that was the first to run a story about Brett Kavanaugh when he was the SCOTUS nominee and he was accused, again, of unsubstantiated sexual assault allegations.
Are you saying there might be a double standard?
I'm just, you know, I'm not saying it. I'm just implying it very, very heavily. And I mean, I find that wild, depending on who we're talking about, what party they belong to.
And the Washington Post does have a serious double standard here, and it's very obvious. I mean, I even remember after the Access Hollywood tape, that the Washington Post was so desperate to find women who'd been assaulted or allegedly assaulted by Trump. And one of them, the one that just struck me as so unpublishable, there was this one lady who was like, well, I think it was this club or maybe that one. There was a red couch, I think. And the Washington Post was running around New York trying to find out which nightclub had a red couch.
Passion out questionnaires to all the women. Have you been sexually assaulted by Donald Trump?
It's sort of like you're working backwards here. And yes, as you state, here's someone who he doesn't deny having sexual relations with her. You have to remember, what did Kavanaugh say about Christine Blasey Ford? I've never met her.
And
I have
multiple
no idea.
People said that.
Yeah.
Multiple
yeah.
people said, we have no memory of this girl. She couldn't remember where the assault allegedly took place, who else was in the house. You know, there were
and
so
the
many
age
gaps in her memory.
And the school difference.
Which is different from Fairfax's accuser, who apparently remembers quite a bit of detail about what she is saying happened. You're right, he's not denying that. I think he actually basically stated that, yes, a sexual encounter happened, but it was consensual. You know, so you've got actually, again, I'm not saying that, you know, we should immediately believe everything she has to say, but you've got a lot to go on here if you want to look into it. And it's interesting when we have to quote unquote believe all women, and when we can ignore them based on who we're talking about here.
Well, guess what? I believe we're out of time. We got to wrap things up. We're running over. We thank you for joining us. Tim, great having you here.
Thank you.
Giving us your take on the State of the Union and the media's kind of take on the State of the Union. Until next week, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see you guys next time.